welcome to the Liberty Church podcast. We pray that as you listen to one of our amazing team bring the Word of God, you are encouraged and challenged and that your faith is stirred. To get in touch or for more information about us as a church, head to libertychurchuk.com.
Let's watch this video before Phil come to preach.
On the last day, and the greatest day, and the invitation goes out to us today, John 7:37. On the last day, and the greatest day, we're living in the greatest days of the festival. Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." If I was in a church somewhere in the States right now, people would be waving white hankies, throwing their Bibles all over the place. Oh, Jesus. The 338,000 troops rescued from the beach of Dunkirk by the average random guy and girl with a boat, nobody will know their names. It did not end the war. But it was, in my opinion, in my little history opinion, one of the most significant moments in the history of this nation, if not the globe. Without those men and women with resilience, the shores were exposed, the country open to attack, and the story would have been different. Today, you and me face not a physical threat that they face right now, but we face a real enemy who is petrified, not about our conferences, not about our rituals, not about our attendance, not about our history, not about our feelings, our talk, our emotions, our ideas. He is petrified about our intimacy with Christ. He's petrified when we get intimate with the King. He's petrified when we gather as the saints. He's petrified when we listen to the voice of the Holy Ghost in us. You see, with intimacy, knowing Him unravels the beauty of who we are and says yes again to the faith journey. Are you ready to go beyond the wave? Are you ready to stand on the shore and not play in the sand anymore and say, "I'm going to risk it"? In Luke 4:18, Jesus declares the same thing. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." He declares, "This is me. I'm reading you my story. I'm holding up the scroll, which is also your story. Because if I am in Him and He is in me, His story is my story. I'll prove it to you." John 14:20. "And that day you will know that I am in the Father and you in me and I in you." I'll prove it again to you. Romans 8:10. "But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness." I'll prove it again to you. Galatians 1:15 to 16. "But when it pleased God who set me apart from my mother's womb," you are set apart and called by His grace to reveal His Son, not out there, in me. Ephesians 3:17, I'm proving it to you five times. "That Christ may make His home in our hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love." Colossians 1:27, "To whom God willed to make known that what are the riches of His glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles." Here's the mystery: Christ in you, the hope of glory. Liberty Church, whether you're part of us or not, every person, relationship, tool, gifting, opportunity is right here, right now, within your grasp. Everything you need to walk in the truth of "the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, the anointing is upon me, the sending is upon me," so that you can walk in the "they who restore, renew, and rebuild." This is a story of war. This is a story of courage. This is a story of family. This is a story of unity. This is a story that involves eternity. Jesus is coming back, and people's lives depend on this thing. The world's narratives, its mentalities, if they do not line up with Scripture, they will not bring life to anybody's soul. Winston Churchill was born for such a time as this, as that, and you are born for such a time as this. You are born for such a time as this.
The mic on. There we go. Amen. We were born for such a time as this. You might be wondering why we're showing the video again. I'm going to mention this a little bit today, but we are actually instructed to renew our minds, are we not? Yeah? You ain't going to do that by quoting a verse every once a week or once a month. It ain't going to happen. You need three things in place in your life: repetition, frequency, and consistency. You have to repeatedly do the thing you want to do. You have to repeat it frequently when you do the thing you do. And then you have to repeat it frequently, consistently, the thing you do. That is how we change. So that's why we're doing this video, because we want to make sure that we understand as a fellowship that this is what the Lord is trying to speak to us about. There are rivers of living water sat in wells, waiting to spring up in our lives. All right, I'm getting off my preach now, so I better get back onto this. Hallelujah. If you want to go deeper in the Word of God, as Kobe said earlier, turn up on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. And we will go deeper. We will dig into what the Word says. The questions will come out that nobody's expecting, and we have to answer them. And we will dig in there and get down to the nitty-gritty of stuff. We don't have time to do it on Sunday, but we have a bit more time on a Tuesday evening and a bit more freedom to dig in. So please, I'd encourage you to come along, especially when we're talking about this kind of stuff and we're going to be going into who we are. I suggested a title, but I'm not sure if we're going to settle on it yet. My thought was, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? That's usually said in a negative connotation, but it's a question to us. Who do you think you are? And we're going to go into that. So let's get on with this. Hallelujah. Let me do my start. Yeah, timer. I've wasted the ego. Praise God. Awesome. Isaiah 61, 1 to 5. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified, is the reason why he planted us. And they shall rebuild the old ruins, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. So to summarize last week, so I'm following on from last week, this is because of the because part two. Because of the because part two. Last week we talked about the benefits of the gospel and the mission of the gospel. The message of the benefits of the gospel are for the people to have health, wealth, and prosperity. And I will qualify that again. I'm not talking name it and claim it prosperity. I'm talking as to prosper body, soul, spirit, financially, and materially in our life. That's what God wants for us. The message of the mission of the gospel, however, is for people to be able to help rebuild, renew, and restore the lives of others. So the gospel has two aspects for us in our application. One, to bless me with everything that God has for me in my life, but then for me to be a vessel through which that blessing flows and enters the lives of others. We talked about being aware of the danger that our spiritual enemy tempts us into and wants to blind us from seeing the mission of the gospel. And he wants us to set up camps around the fire of blessing and warm ourselves on the fire and never move out into mission. but just bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. Bless. I need, I want. We've got to move out from that and into the mission field. We've come through a lot of hardship over the last couple of years. There's a danger that we may have adopted a survival mentality through it all. How am I going to get through this? How am I going to get through this? And the church also, in general, the danger of falling into that survival mentality. How are we going to keep the pews filled? So we enter into the blessing side of things. And we forget about the mission of why we're here. Genesis 12, 1 to 3 talks about the promises to Abraham, which are ours. And it goes into the fact that God says, I will bless you and I will make you a blessing. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. That was obviously a promise to the seed of Abraham, which is Christ. And then we, when we believe in Christ, we enter into Christ and we become a part of the blessings of Abraham and co-heirs to the promises of God through Christ Jesus. So it all basically falls back on our shoulders, that he wants to bless us and make us a blessing. So we went into God's part last week, very quickly. God's part in this whole process was qualification and impartation. So he qualifies us and then he imparts into our lives. The qualification part, John 1:12. To those that received him, he gave them the power to be sons of God. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation. God chose us. John 15:16. You didn't choose me, Jesus said. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. That's the qualification part. Impartation, Colossians 1:27. You heard it. Heath mentioned it just now. Yeah. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Impartation, Christ in you. 2 Corinthians 6:16. For what agreement does the temple of God have with idols? For you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. As God has said, I will live in you and I will walk in you. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Ephesians 1:3. He has blessed us, past tense, with every spiritual blessing that is in Christ Jesus in the heavenly places. 2 Peter 1, 1-4, he has given us faith of the same value as everybody else. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, and he has given us great and precious promises through which we inherit the divine nature. These scriptures should be coming up on the screen so you can make notes of them very quickly. Genesis 3:27 tells us that we have put on Christ. We have been clothed with Christ. So I'm going to go into this next part now. This is today. That was God's part. Now we're looking at our part. So put yourself in God's shoes for a moment. He qualified us. Then he imparted everything into us. And then he doesn't sit back and say, oh, that's it. No, I'm done. That's it. Nothing else now. No, he qualified us and he imparted stuff into our lives because there is an expectation that follows the qualification and the impartation. God expects a response. He expects a response. Just let that sink in for a moment. Even your employer, if you're in work, he qualifies you for a position in the company. Then he imparts into you everything that you need, and then he waits for the response, which is us going to work and doing the thing which we have been qualified for and have received an impartation for. God is no different. So I want to talk about three things. Three expectations from God. You ready for this? Is anybody awake? Hallelujah. Can I have somebody shout amen over there? Who said it over here? Can I have somebody shout hallelujah? Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Just keep doing it, right? When I'm preaching, keep doing it. Just so you can wake somebody up who sat next to you. First of all, thank you, Kobe. There's an expectation. I'm doing all the ends, by the way. An expectation from God of presentation. An expectation of presentation. What do I mean by that? Well, let's get this in our understanding. Ephesians 2:10 tells us, for we are Christ or God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. Good works that he'd prepared beforehand, that who should walk in them? Yeah, not God. He didn't say, I prepared good works for me to do. He said, no, I prepared good works for you to do. There's an expectation upon us. Good works. But in order for us to be able to walk in those works that he's prepared for us, there has to be a response from us to the call. Without the response, nothing gets done. Those good works do not get done. We have to respond. There's an expectation of presentation. To present the body back to God. Please, hands up if you don't have a body. It's always... There's one at the back there as well. Obviously, if you don't have a body, you're dead. Yeah, you're not here. If you're here, you have a body. You're living in a body, are you not? Right. What are we meant to do with that body? Come on, Simon, come preach it. We use it, but we have to first, before we can use it, present it to God. Scripture, Hebrews 10:5-7. This is talking about Jesus. Who is our role model in Christianity? That wasn't rhetorical. I want an answer. Who is it? Jesus. Jesus is our role model. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. We are meant to imitate him. As he is, so are we in this world. Okay? Yeah? Whoever says they believe in Christ themselves ought to walk like him. Hebrews 10:5-7. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice an offering you didn't desire. That Old Testament of works, of sacrifices and offerings, was all the appeasement of sin. But it never made them righteous. It just appeased sin. It gave them another year. That's not what God wants. Here it says, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will. the body, this physical body. God is asking us to view it differently to how we used to view it before we were Christians. Because before we were Christians, and probably a long time after that, we lived our lives gratifying ourselves. We lived for our own bodies. Yet God is saying, I want you to have the mentality now that your body was given to you in order to do His will. A body you have prepared for me, O Lord. He wants us to present the body back to Him. Present the body and the spirit, 1 Corinthians 6:20. For you were bought at a price. Let's just rest there for a moment. What did we just do earlier that Gavin and Louise so excellently led us in? Communion, right? What was the communion for? Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus paid a horrific price. He paid for us. You were bought at a price. Just look at the crucifixion of Christ. Look at what He went through. The crown of thorns in His skull, the nails in His hands and in His feet, the back that was ripped off Him with a cat of nine tails. His body was broken for us, and that wasn't the end of it. When they hung Him on the cross, He poured out His blood that we should be forgiven. That was the price that was paid for you and I. For you were bought at a price, therefore, because of this, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They are not ours. This body is actually not mine. It's been paid for. Jesus secured ownership of it when He died for me. And when I accepted His forgiveness, I was accepting His ownership of who I am. That's why Paul said, I'm a bondservant of Christ, and I've called to be an apostle. The price. Present the body and mind. We read this so often, but I don't know if we've really got the depth of it. I am trying to get the depth of it in my own life. Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do what? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Do you know what the sacrifice went through in the temple? It was strapped to an altar. And then they took a two-edged knife. And then they sliced the sacrifice after obviously pouring the blood out. And they cut away the fat from the meat. Because the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing spirit and soul, flesh and meat. The living sacrifice was presented to God, holy and acceptable. And God is saying, I want you to become a living sacrifice for me. But we have to present ourselves to Him. And it might mean a bit of pain and a bit of suffering. But that is no time to try and get yourself off the altar and walk away. The sacrifice is strapped. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Does anybody here not have a mind? Don't put your hand up now. We're also to present our minds to God. Our souls, our soul, mind, will, and emotions. Yeah? Which we will be going into on a Tuesday night, so don't miss out. Presenting our minds, what for? For being renewed. Why? Because we think junk. We think rubbish. We think not of God. So we need the minds renewed. Present your mind, that you might prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Why? Because it's God's pleasure. Galatians 1, 15 to 16, verse 16a. When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, what did he do? He gave me a body and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me. He wants to reveal Christ in us. So the challenge to us is, who are we presenting ourselves to day after day? Who are we presenting our bodies to and our minds to on a daily basis? Because, did anybody heard of spiritual warfare? Anybody heard of that term? Yeah. All right. So let's just tell you what it's not, first of all. It's not, it can be, but it's not generally driving up to the top of Tumbalum and coming against the principality of South Wales and trying to drag him down. Now, if God calls you to do that, then amen, right? But your spiritual warfare is when somebody looks at you the wrong way and the first thought that comes to your mind, what is it? Punch. What do you want? You're going to hit him, Rob, you? Yeah. What are the first thoughts? What are those thoughts that come are presented to us when we find ourselves in situations we feel uncomfortable in? When somebody cuts you up on the roundabout? Yeah. When your spouse says something horrible to you? When your employer treats you badly? Let me tell you something. God wants to use our bodies and our souls and our spirits to glorify his Son, Christ. He wants Christ, who lives in us, to shine through us. As Gavin and Louise said, the light to shine through us. But guess what? Satan wants to do exactly the same. Because he doesn't have a body. So he needs ours to manifest himself through. So spiritual warfare happens daily, minute by minute, hour by hour, where there is a battle on us. Who are we going to allow into our lives? It's that little, they make a funny thing out of it. We've got an angel on one shoulder and a devil on the other shoulder, both whispering in your ear. It is literally like that. I'm not saying they sat on your shoulders, by the way. But you get thoughts. Let me show you. Romans 6:12. Therefore, don't let sin reign in your body. This is God now. He's saying, don't let sin reign in your body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God. The first response God wants from us, the expectation, is for you to present yourself to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. So God has done everything he could on his part for us. We are dead to sin and alive to God. Romans 6:11. He's taken care of it. We are no longer sinners. We are saints. We have the nature of Christ, the mind of Christ, the spirit of Christ. We are Christ's. Now he's saying, present ourselves to God as those instruments of Christ. Because Paul goes on to say, he says, what then? Shall we sin? Because we're not under law, but we're under grace. Certainly not. Don't you know, he says, have you got no idea of what's going on here? Don't you understand that to whomever you present your members to obey, you become that one's slave? So here's the choice we have daily, to present ourselves to God in the moment. This is not a one-time event. This is daily. Present ourselves to God to become slaves to righteousness, or if we present ourselves to the enemy, guess what's going to happen? We become a slave to sin. Once again, that's where the battle is. The enemy does not want us free. He doesn't want us effective. He doesn't want us powerful. He wants us captive so that he can still use us to do his will. There's an expectation of application. So there's an expectation of presentation. There's an expectation of application. What do we mean by that? We are meant to allow God to rebuild, renew, and restore our lives. We are to allow him. We present ourselves to him, and then he goes to work in us. If we've truly presented ourselves to God, then we should be making choices and exercising our wills in ways that reflect this truth. If we're not, then we truly haven't presented ourselves to God. The application. We are to learn to walk in what we have been given. What have we been given? Faith. All things that pertain to life and godliness. And all the precious promises through which we inherit the divine nature. We have been given all those things at the day of new birth. Every spiritual blessing that's in Christ Jesus. We lack nothing. But are we applying it to our lives? Application. Philippians 2, 12 to 13 says, therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. It doesn't mean try to get saved. That word there, salvation, soterion, refers to the work of the Holy Spirit in the body and the soul to bring out from what's in your spirit to the world. Because if it's just in your spirit, it affects and touches no one. It has to come through us. Work out. Work it out. The salvation that we have. Why? For it's God who works in you both to will, his will, his desires, and to do his good pleasure. Not mine, his. But guess what? If you have the heart, the mind, the nature of Christ in you, your will in fact be his will. If it's not, then we've got a problem. Our responsibility. application year. This application is intentional. We have to be intentional about it. Hebrews 5:14. This is from the Expanded Bible. But solid food is for those who are grown up. They are mature. They're mature enough who through practice and exercise have trained their mental or spiritual senses and faculties to know the difference between what is good and what is evil. Trained them. How often do we just shoot off with our mouth before even thinking about it? How often do we just do things without thinking about it? What are we not doing? Discerning between what is good and what is evil. We have a choice. Am I going to present my body here as an instrument for righteousness? Am I going to allow my mind to begin its renewal process by agreeing with God and doing what God is asking me to do in my thought life? Or am I just going to just get on with it and do my own thing? If you do that, you will end up a slave to sin. When we're aware of what is good and what is evil, we are faced with making the choice as to what to do or say, and it takes an act of our will. We choose. I heard this saying the other day, me and Julie were talking about it. When a married man finds himself in a hotel room with another woman other than his wife, every button you undo is a choice. Every button you do is a choice. Not the devil made me do it. No, you choose. What are we choosing? How many of us are actually bringing every thought captive? Do we actually know what that means? How to do it? Does anybody go to the gym? Oof, oh, wow, we're an unhealthy bunch, aren't we? Does anybody dream about going to the gym? Dream about it, awesome. Well, let me tell you what happens when you go to the gym. There's an expectation that you use your body and apply your will into doing the exercises. And it's only when you do that and use your body to resist weights or push yourself on a treadmill that you actually get stronger. If you don't do it, you don't get stronger. You gradually get weaker. It takes effort and it takes discipline. Keeping our mind on a leash is so important. Anybody got a dog? Yeah? Only a couple of people got dogs. Do you have leads, dog leads for your dogs? Why do you have a lead? Stop it running away. We like that with our minds. They have no leashes on them. So you sit there and you see a picture on the telly. Or you're looking at a woman or a man walking down the street. And all of a sudden your mind goes running off down a road it shouldn't go down. And we don't bother trying to pull it back. Where are you going? Come here. No, you don't. I'm bringing you captive. Come here. Do we do that with our minds? Do we keep them on leashes? Do we stop them from running amok? Because when they start to get running amok, guess what's happening? That the dog is smelling food. The dog is smelling another dog. Somebody's calling your dog. And if you're not careful, they'll go away and they'll get into all sorts of trouble or danger. So you keep it on a leash. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Choose life, and you and your descendants may live. And you might think that's Old Testament. Well, let's look at it in the New Testament, Galatians 6:7-8. Do not be deceived. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Do you know what God did in the beginning of creation? He set laws in motion. Gravity, magnetism, all this kind of stuff. They're all in the physical realm. But he also set spiritual laws in motion that you cannot break. One of them is sowing and reaping. For whatever a man sows, that is what you'll also reap, man or woman. For they who sow to the flesh will reap of the flesh corruption, but they who sow to the Spirit will reap everlasting life. So if you focus your mind on carnal things, you will reap death. Romans 8. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Who are we presenting our minds to? Are we applying our minds to the Word? Colossians 2:6, as you therefore have received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Walk in him. Romans 13:14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Or in other words, say no, 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 I won't fight with you. I refuse to fight with you because I love you. Colossians 3:5, therefore put to death your members. Just be clear here. It doesn't say, therefore put up with your members. Put up with your members. No, put to death. God is quite brutal when it comes to the works of the flesh. He doesn't say, oh, there. Oh, your besetting sin. Sorry about that. No, he says, kill it. Kill it. Stamp on it. Choke it to death. Do whatever you need to do. For the sinner, it's better if you cut off your right arm than be thrown into hell with both your arms. That's the extreme way that God thinks of the flesh. Kill it. Ephesians 4:13 to 32. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Don't grieve him. The bitterness that we manifest, the anger, the malice, whatever it is we do. In Corinthians, it says, it says, flee, run away from as fast as you can, sexual immorality. Because when you're doing it, you are taking the members of Christ and you're joining them to a harlot. Literally, Christ is looking through our eyes as you're having immoral sex with another person. Think about that for a moment. Because Christ lives in us. Where I go, I take him. Do I want to take him into the bed of somebody who is not my husband or my wife? Talk about grieving the Holy Spirit. Do I want to take him down a road where I am swearing and shouting at somebody? Do I want to take him down a road of bitterness and unforgiveness? It grieves him that I would take him down that path and lead him. Come with me, Jesus. Come with me. I can't stand this person. I want to give him a mouthful. Come with me. Grieves me just talking about it. It kept me when I first got saved. It kept me from doing things. I'd be quite blunt and frank, right? I had about 5 or 6 girlfriends before I got married. I had to finish with every one of them. I'd say 4 out of 5 of them wanted to have sex with me. I said no. And I had to finish with them, cut them off. Not brutally, but just like, you know what? I can't do this. Why? Because I had presented my body to God as a living sacrifice. And I don't want to live like that. So I'm making the choice. And I kept myself for that day that God brought somebody into my life to marry. We all have a choice. But don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you will reap. Whoever you present your members to obey, you become that one's slave. I have to finish. I would like to go into an expectation of demonstration. I know we're conscious on time, so maybe I'll get it out in small group video. So if you're in small groups, watch out for that. Let's pray together. Hallelujah. 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 I'd like everybody just to think back just a few moments to when you were taking communion. Just think back to that moment. See the bread in your hand. See the juice in the little cup. Focus on those two elements right now. I want you to ask yourself a question right now. Why am I taking them? Why am I taking them? Is it because it's a good churchy thing to do? Is it because everybody else is doing it, so I don't want to look like I'm, you know, a rebellious person, so I'm not going to sit in my chair, I'm going to go and do it as well? Am I doing it because I think, oh Lord, I'm so unworthy, I'm so unworthy? No. Why are you taking them? We are asked to take them because we have to remember Christ's body, Christ's blood. The body broken for us, the blood shed for us. The body broken so that we might be made whole, the blood shed that we might be forgiven. But when you take those two elements, when you think back to it, what I'm asking you to do right now in your heart is to present your body back to God. Romans 12:1 says it's your reasonable act of worship. Reasonable is an expectation from God. And you're forgiven for all your sins. Your consciences have been cleansed from dead works to serve the living God. Cleansed by the sprinkling of the blood of the Lamb of God. I'm asking you now to present your mind to the Lord. These are yours, Lord. These are yours. A body you've prepared for me to do your will. A mind you have given me so that I might be transformed into the image of the one who created me. I'm asking you to do that in your own hearts right now. If you generally do that, you begin that journey, if you haven't already, of applying God's word to your life. And then there's an expectation on us to demonstrate that word in our lives. Because faith without works is dead. Father, I thank you for every man, woman, young person in this place right now. Father, I thank you that your word, it comes, Lord. It imparts life. It imparts grace into our hearts, Lord. It advances the kingdom, your kingdom in our lives, Lord, so that your kingdom will come on earth and be done on earth just as it is in heaven. Father, we present ourselves to you, body, soul, spirit. And we say, Lord, do what you want to do in us and through us. Do it, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be those people you've called us to be. Help us to walk in the things you have for us. Help us to do the works you've prepared for us to do. Get us to the place you want us to be, Lord, and do whatever it needs to be done in order to make it happen. Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for presenting your body and pouring out your soul, even to death, that we might be saved. Bless you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got the word response going through my head. Response. I'm going to ask you to do something. As a response, if you prayed those prayers in your heart, I'm not doing this for my benefit. I'm doing this for your benefit. You are going to publicly now declare that you said that. If you didn't say it and you don't care, sorry, I don't mean to put this on you, right? If you didn't say it and you feel like you don't care, say that to God. Just tell God that and say, Lord, I want to care, because that's part of the journey. But if you said it and you really meant it in your heart, Lord, that's where I want to be. I'm going to ask you to stand up.